This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. In your health this morning, transplant surgery. It used to mean kidneys and livers and hearts. These days, those aren't the only body parts being transplanted. Surgeons are using tendons and cartilage to rebuild damaged knees. They're using harvested bone to shore up aching backs. 2 decades ago, these musculoskeletal transplants were rare. Now they're used on more than 1 million patients a year in the U.S. alone. What many recipients don't know is that these recycled bits of tendon or bone can sometimes make you sick. NPR's John Hamilton reports.
For more than a decade, Mahmoud Radwan was a world-class athlete. He competed in a type of kung fu that includes elements of boxing and wrestling.
I won the African Championship, Russian Championship, China, and Egypt.
These days, Radwan is recovering from knee surgery. And he's helping his wife run their kiosk in a New Jersey mall. It's called the King Tut Store and sells plastic pyramids, miniature death masks, and other curios from his native Egypt.
Thank you very much.
Between customers, Radwan explains that it wasn't kung fu that took out his knee. It was an accident at his regular job as foreman at a local warehouse.
I was helping a customer and my leg fell in a pothole of the snow and I fell backward and I teared the ACL.
ACL stands for anterior cruciate ligament. For professional athletes, these letters are usually mentioned right before the phrase season-ending injury. For Radwan, a torn ACL meant an end to his work at the warehouse.
They took me with the ambulance, and what they told me after that, they told me that my knee, I did severe damage to it.
Radwan says he was okay with the prospect of major knee surgery, until he learned that his surgeon wanted to replace the damaged ACL with a tendon from a dead person. That made him nervous. He'd been reading news reports on the internet.
They have people stealing body parts, and they actually sell it, and it's a big business, and, you know, I don't want to have somebody else's leg in my leg. So I need to make sure that's, like, a good one.
Radwan had reason to worry. A business in his state had been accused of selling body parts stolen from corpses at funeral homes. The case got a lot of attention, especially after it turned out one of those plundered cadavers was the late Alistair Cook of Masterpiece Theater. The body parts hadn't gone through the usual safety checks, yet they'd ended up in hundreds of unsuspecting patients who may have been exposed to a wide range of diseases. And that was just the latest incident showing that transplanted body tissues aren't always safe. Perhaps the best-known case occurred 5 years ago.
I just happened to be the medical epidemiologist on call that day.
Dr. Lennox Archibald was working at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. His job was investigating infections that occurred in hospitals or other healthcare settings. And on that day, he got a report about a transplant in Minnesota that went very wrong.
It was a young man, I think he was 23, and underwent a knee procedure. And within 2 to 3 days, he developed symptoms, fever, feeling unwell. And by the time he presented to the emergency room, he had a high fever, and he died soon after.
It turned out that the man appeared to have received cartilage that was contaminated with a nasty bacteria called Clostridium. The infection occurred even though the tissue bank involved had apparently followed the rules.
At the time that this fell in my lap, there was no surveillance system or reporting system for musculoskeletal allograft infections.
So, Archibald realized it was impossible to know how often these types of infections occurred. But he knew this wasn't the only one. Clearly, there was a problem. Archibald says it didn't take long before CDC investigators began to understand why these infections could occur. Bones and tendons are usually the last thing to be removed from a dead person who's agreed to donate body parts. Organs such as kidneys and livers are usually taken first. And while that's going on, Archibald says, the corpse starts decomposing.
Within hours, bugs that would normally be eliminated, killed, start proliferating in the bloodstream.
Those bugs may eventually reach tendons and bones. Most tissue banks try to eliminate bacteria by soaking the tissues in antibiotics. But that doesn't get rid of viruses or tough bacteria like Clostridium. Archibald published his findings in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2004. The article concluded that there was a great need to sterilize tissues before transplanting them. He says the need is even more pressing today, partly because many surgeons already think the bones and tendons they're transplanting have been sterilized.
You have to bear in mind these guys are in the operating theater. and they're getting something which is sometimes doubly and triply packaged in a nice sort of solution.
By the time the New England Journal article came out, Archibald had left the CDC to join the University of Florida. He'd also decided he wanted to do something to make tissue transplants safer.
If I ruptured my knee, would I want a sterile implant in my knee? Of course.
So he became the medical director of a company that had found a way to truly sterilize bones and tendons without damaging them. Since then, a second company has also found a way to safely sterilize tissue, and doctors are just beginning to offer their patients sterilized transplants. Dr. Alexander Sapega is an orthopedic surgeon in New Jersey. He says he's never been completely comfortable using cadaver tissues.
For the past 15 years, where surgeons such as myself have been using allograft tissue implants in patients, we've always had a very nagging concern, both on our end as well as the patient's end, about the potential for infectious disease transmission.
He says patients tend to worry about getting hepatitis or HIV, but surgeons know that common bacteria can do a lot of damage, even if they don't kill you.
A simple bacterial infection that is not life-threatening is an extremely nasty thing to deal with in a knee. It has the potential to largely deteriorate or destroy the results of the operation. It can cause premature arthritis in the knee joint. The toxins emitted by certain types of bacteria can sort of eat away at the joint cartilage, can essentially wreck a knee joint.
So last year, Sapega began offering his patients a full range of options. They could get old-fashioned surgery that rebuilds the knee using healthy tissue from their own body. This usually means a longer recovery period. They could choose an unsterilized tendon from a cadaver. Or they could choose a sterilized tendon. Sapega says his patients usually have the same reaction.
It doesn't seem to take them very long to say, well, gee, if I can have an allograft where I don't have to cut up healthy portions of my knee to fix the bad portion, and yet I don't have to put up with the risk of infectious disease transmission, it's kind of a no-brainer.
But most surgeons still don't offer sterilized transplants. Fewer than 10% of patients receive them. Mahmoud Radwan, the Kung Fu champion, was glad he got his new tendon from Dr. Sapega.
This one is guaranteed that nothing wrong with it. So I told him, no, I don't want to take the chance. I just need to go with the one that I know it's good.
He's very pleased with the results. During a quiet moment at the King Tut store, Radwan props his foot on a bench and pulls up his pants leg. He points to his scars and gives a brief lecture on exactly how Dr. Sapega rebuilt his knee.
He stripped my muscle, wrap it on the tibia, and screw it in to hold the side from moving.
Radwan says he expects he'll eventually be getting around pretty much the way he used to. Dr. Sapega wants him to stay away from kung fu tournaments. But Radwan says he still has daydreams about competing.
I was good. I was very good. I'm still good, but with one leg.
John Hamilton, NPR News.
And we have plenty more reporting on health issues. Just go to npr.org/yourhealth.